What's good, everybody? Welcome in. Welcome to Virginia. It's your boy, Michael Saunders. Today we're talking about the power of words. We're getting ready to get set up over here on TikTok. And they're going to be joining us tonight, as usual. What's up, TikTok? Welcome in. I hate the fact that after you put a green screen filter on, they make you re-put it on once you go live. I don't understand that, but praise God anyway. Before we go any further, where are you guys watching from? Where are you guys watching from? I'm doing something a little different. I don't think I've ever done this before. Well, no, I wore a hoodie with this thing, but I've never worn a t-shirt before, so it's a little different today. Praise God. Good to see you, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Kick, and Twitch. We're actually growing on Kick. We have 7 followers. Here's the thing. I didn't promote Kick. I never promoted Kick. I never promoted our Twitch like that. I think our Twitch is pretty much the same, because I'm using my Twitch that I used to use back in the day, which already had about 500 followers up there. So somehow, some way, some people are seeing, you know, the videos and seeing the live stream. So that's a blessing of God. I'm happy about that. Yeah, so let me know where you're watching from. You don't have to tell me your, like, address. Just, like, what state? What country? I'll tell you, you know, America over here. That'd be kind of cool. Hey, welcome to America. You know, but then people would think I'm, like, political or whatever. Yeah, like I said, today we're talking about the power of words. I was thinking about this a little bit today. And I had been talking to somebody. I was talking to my mom about it last night. The power of words and how you use your words to shape your future. A lot of people don't know that the reason why they go through a lot of the stuff they go through is because of the stuff they spoke yesterday. And how you talk today will shape how you live tomorrow. Well, I don't believe all that. Well, you don't have to, but the Bible teaches different. So, like, that's why there's a lot of, like, controversy around the term manifesting. Yeah, like somebody put in Twitch, manifestation. The difference is that you have to understand manifestation is a ripoff. First off, manifestation is trying to use other power or human effort or other spiritual power to get something done. The Bible says that if anybody tries to come to God any other way than the Son, which is Jesus Christ, then they're a thief. So using manifestation makes you a thief. It makes you a thief. But when you do it God's way, we could talk about Mark 11, where he says, if you speak to this mountain and tell it to be lifted up and cast into the sea and shall not doubt in your heart that the things you say will come to pass, it will happen for you. That is because the whole basis for that whole scripture was talking about prayer. It wasn't saying to do things apart from God. God does not want us doing things apart from him. He wants us doing things in tandem with him by his Holy Spirit. So manifestation is trying to do things for yourself that God wants to do for you. Because here's the thing, most people don't understand this concept or as well. And, you know, this is something that, you know, it's not a bad thing if you don't understand it. But we don't understand all the repercussions of the things we ask for. So when I pray to God, I understand that I know that he knows the ins and outs. He knows who's involved, who's not involved. He knows every detail of every aspect of everything that has to be done. When I do manifestation, I don't understand everything. It's witchcraft because you're trying to get something quick. But when I speak, I'm speaking the word of God. Faith only comes by speaking the word of God. I want you to put that in the comments. Faith only comes by hearing the word of God. So when I hear the word of God, that's when I speak, because I have the faith to believe it. So, for instance, if somebody is sick, I don't say, Lord, Lord, heal them, heal them, heal them, heal them, heal them, heal them. No, I say, Father, I thank you that they're already healed because of the stripes that Jesus took on his back. That's not manifestation. That's me standing on the promise of God. Manifestation is me trying to get God to do something, and or me trying to, not me trying to get God to do something, me trying to get the universe to do something. I don't need the universe to do anything. The Bible says I've been given every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I've been given all, I've been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. I don't need to make things happen. God has already set up things in my favor. That's why I don't understand people who like talk about, like, they try to twist scripture to make it fit their agenda. It's like, stop. The Bible's already written. God already predestined that his word would be written in the favor of his children. And if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you guys an opportunity tonight. That way you can experience the love of God firsthand. I want you to go with me to Matthew 15 real quick. This is something really cool that I heard. And then, you know, you got to do a little bit of studying yourself because you can't just go off everybody's opinions. But Matthew 15 real quick. Matthew 15. We're going to go verse 15. Peter asked him, explain this parable about what defiles a person to us. And he said, are you still so dull and unable to put things together? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But whatever word comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. And this is what defiles and dishonors the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, plans, murders, adulteries, sexual immoralities, thefts, false testimonies, slanders, verbal abuse, irreverent speech, and blaspheming. These are things which defile and dishonor the man, but eating with it ceremonially unwashed hands, with unceremonially washed hands, does not defile a man. One thing that you'll figure out is that if you look up the word defile, it actually means to degrade or to make common. To degrade or to make common. When we speak stuff that is not of the word of God, when we speak things that are contrary to the word of God, we are defiling ourselves. We are degrading ourselves. We are making ourselves to be common things. You are not supposed to have a common destiny. It's funny that I named this thing Destiny Youth, not even understanding that I would learn this one day. You were not created to have a common destiny. Well, I just go with the flow, bro. No, I don't go with the flow. What flow? Does this life look like it has a flow to you? Where nothing makes sense, where people are dying left and right, and everybody wants to blame God, but the reality is that sin is what causes this. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to give you three areas that your words have effect in. Three areas that your words have effect in. The spiritual aspect of your words. Go to Romans real quick. Romans, I'm going to go verse 8, I think. Romans. Let me look up what that one I'm trying to find is. Romans 10. Okay, my bad. Romans 10. Keep going a little bit to the right. All right. I hate having to, like, skip through these pages because, like, they get, like, stuck together. Romans 10, verse 10. For with the heart a person believes in Christ as Savior, resulting in his justification. That is, being made righteous, being freed from the guilt of sin and made acceptable to God. And with the mouth, he acknowledges and confesses his faith openly, resulting in confirming his salvation. Let me go over that last part. He says, and with the mouth, he acknowledges and confesses his faith openly, resulting in and confirming his salvation. If you want to know why I do the salvation prayer at the end of all my live streams, this is one of the scriptures right here. Because it requires you to speak. What if a person doesn't have the ability to speak? That's why we pray for people, so that way they can be healed. Like, I don't, you know. The Bible also tells us that we have the same spirit of faith as the psalmist. And so therefore, like he said, I believe, therefore I speak. So we believe, therefore we spoke. We have the same spirit of faith as the psalmist that said that. So when we believe something, real faith will cause you to speak something. Real belief, I should say. Because you can have belief in things that aren't, you know, it's like faith and fear are like total opposite. People say, well, no, actually sight is. Well, not necessarily. Though it says we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith, yes, but what you see is what produces the fear. So if I go to the doctor and they tell me, you know, you have stage something cancer, if I don't have a strong foundation in the word of God, that will produce in me fear. And so instead of me speaking, yes, but by his stripes I'm healed. No, you know what I'm going to be saying? Yeah, the cancer is really eating me up inside. Amen. You know, and so I'm trying to make sense of what's going on, because I don't have faith. I have fear. Faith and fear create the same response in a human being. Write that down. Faith and fear create the same response in a human being. Put that in the chat too. That was real good. I like that. Faith and fear create the same response in a human being. Faith will make you speak to mountains and cause them to move. Fear will cause you to speak to mountains and cause them to grow, to become even more rooted. Amen. So that's why the spiritual aspect of our words is very important, because this is where it all starts. Is it 3 John? Yeah, 3 John. Let me check something out real quick. We're going to see how this applies to me, because I'm trying to figure out, like, why this came up to me. Third John chapter, verse 2, I mean, 3 John verse 2, because there's no chapters. Beloved, I pray that in every way you may succeed and prosper and be in health physically, just as I know your soul prospers spiritually. If you're not speaking the word of God over your spirit man, you cannot expect your physical man or your mind to be operating correctly. I was just talking to, and it all starts with reconditioning your mind. Like he said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Renew your mind to what the word of God says about you. Instead of me confessing that I'm always sick and tired of this situation, or I'm always doing this, or blah, blah, blah. How about this? You start saying, Father, I thank you that you've given me the mind of Christ on how to deal with this situation so I can overcome it and be more than a conqueror. You have been anointed by God to be a problem solver. I'm not here to tell you that God puts you in situations so he can get glory out of it. But one thing I will say is, why not you? Because you have the mind of God. You have the ability to figure things out. You don't just have a brain. You have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is such a valuable tool, because it means that I don't just have regular thinking. You see what I'm saying? I have the ability of God on the inside of me so that I can outmaneuver my enemies. That's why the Bible says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. I'm not ignorant of what God's trying, of what the devil's trying to do to me. God has me steps ahead of him all the time. I never get stuck behind. I never fall behind because God is with me. Can you say amen? So now we're going to go into the mental aspect of our words. The mental aspect of our words is this is where the mind has to change. The spiritual aspect is salvation, you know, that kind of stuff, making sure we have communion with God. Because here's the thing, you have a whole lot of people who have communion with God, and guess what? They still don't understand the promises of God. I know people in my life who have gone on to be with the Lord who they never saw the promises of God coming to fruition in their life, but they prayed every day, they fasted all the time, they were always praying in tongues and all that kind of stuff, but they never saw anything happen for themselves because their spirit was prospering, but their mind wasn't. And how does your mind prosper? By renewing your mind to the Word of God. That's crazy, isn't it? So the mental aspect of your words, you have to, once you begin to understand what the Bible says about you, you must make up in your mind that I'm going to live this thing out. Now you have to also decide that even if it looks like it's not working out, I still believe God. I still decide that he is God. His word is true. It's eternal. And I'm not going to deviate from that. You know what I'm saying? That is very important. And so when it comes to your mind, like we talked about the mind of Christ. Matter of fact, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is a good one. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. It's ahead of 2 Corinthians, for those of you who've never read before. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll just read the whole chapter. And when I came to you, my brothers and sisters, proclaiming to you the testimony of God concerning salvation through Christ, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, no lofty words of eloquence, nor a philosophy as a Greek orator might do. For I made the decision to know nothing, that is to forego philosophical or theological discussions regarding the inconsequential things and opinions while among you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified, and the meaning of his redemptive, substitutionary death and his resurrection. I came to you in a state of weakness and fear and great trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, using clever rhetoric, but they were delivered in demonstration of the Holy Spirit, operating through me and of his power, stirring the minds of the listeners and persuading them. So, mental aspect of your words causes you to be stirred up in your mind. Can you close my door all the way? Yeah. Appreciate it. So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom and the rhetoric of men, but on the power of God. Yet we do speak wisdom among those spiritually mature believers who have teachable hearts and greater understanding. So understanding, you have understanding, you have wisdom, and your heart must be open to receiving the wisdom of God. That's another thing that comes to the mental aspect of your words. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the wisdom once hidden from men, but now revealed to us by God. That wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, to lift us into the glory of his presence. None of the rulers of this age recognized and understood this wisdom, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory, just as it was written in the scripture. Things which the eye has not seen, and the ear has not heard, which has not entered into the heart or the mind of a man, all that God has prepared for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, who obey him, and who gratefully recognize the benefits that he has bestowed. For God has unveiled them and revealed them to us through what? The Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things diligently, even sounding and measuring the profound depths of God, the divine counsels, and the things far beyond human what? Understanding. For what person knows the thoughts and motives of a man except the man's spirit within him? So no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now I want you to catch this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Holy Spirit, who was what? From God. See, the Holy Spirit is in me. Thank you for the follow, Berlin. I appreciate it. We have the same spirit in us that's from God. Remember, he said, who can know the thoughts of a man except the spirit that's in him? Same way that nobody can know the thoughts of God except the spirit of God. We have that spirit. Let's keep going and understand the wonderful things freely given to us. We also speak of these things, not in words taught or supplied by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual thoughts with spiritual words for those being guided by the Holy Spirit. But the natural unbelieving man does not accept the things, the teachings, and the revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness, absurd, and illogical to him, and he is incapable of understanding them because they are spiritually discerned and appreciated, and he is unqualified to judge spiritual matters. But the spiritual man, the spiritually mature Christian, judges all things, questions, examines, and applies what the Holy Spirit reveals, yet is himself judged by no one. The unbeliever cannot judge and understand the believer's spiritual nature. For who has known the mind and the purposes of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ to be guided by his thoughts and purposes. Praise God. So, the mental aspect to your words is you must silence the voice of your mind and get this in it. Let the word of God be the voice that is in your mind. Because the natural unbelieving man thinks with this. See, most people who are saved still think like this. Well, if God did that, could that happen? Let me show you. We read this last week, I think. Maybe we read it earlier this week, too. I don't remember. We might have. Yeah, kind of. I think we might have done it. Go to 2 Kings chapter 4 real quick. I'm going to show y'all something real cool. 2 Kings chapter 4. Not 4. I think it might have been... Where did I just see it? I'll just give you guys the example because I don't really want to waste too much time. Remember when he was talking about, he said, even if God opened up the windows of heaven, would it be possible? Would it even be possible that we would have enough food? Remember he said, by this time tomorrow, barley will be worth like a shekel or something like that. So you remember, the man was thinking like this with his mind, and it caused him to miss out on the blessing. When it comes to the spiritual aspect of your words, let your spirit lead. Your mental should be silenced and be replaced with this, the word of God. And then when you go to the physical aspect of your words, this is where it gets fun. The spiritual aspect of your words should shape the physical aspect of your words. Because here's the thing, you've already received every blessing in heavenly places, at spiritual places. Most people's hang up is trying to get it to come down to the physical. Amen. So you have to learn to speak. You have to learn to speak your words, to speak the word of God. When you let the word of God get in your spirit, you speak those things and you replace your mind with the word of God. That will cause you to believe it. It'll be in your heart. Your heart will believe it. Your heart will receive the word of God and it won't fight. It won't be like, I don't know if that's possible. You'll just be so enamored by the power of God. You'll be so enamored by what God is doing because you believe him that you won't have any choice but to receive it. And then that's when it starts to bleed over into the natural. So your soul prospers when it realizes that it's not supposed to be in charge. That's why most people never experience God's best, because they spend so much time trying to let their mind run the show. Your mind, I heard a guy say this one time, your mind is a terrible master, but a wonderful servant. Your mind is a terrible master, but a wonderful servant, Jesus. That's deep. You know, I'm going to give you guys a really really strange example real quick, and then I'm going to open to Proverbs, because Proverbs is just chock full of that stuff. Proverbs, right? Did you know that, what's his name? Martin Luther King, when, you know, he died at 39, right? Did you know that he was telling people he wouldn't make it past 40? He said, I will not make it past 40. He didn't even believe he was going to make it. Now, whether you say, well, he knew people were after him or not, it don't really matter. The fact that it was spot on is the scary part. That's the scary part. Your words, and then they even did an autopsy on the guy when he died. Guess what? The man's heart was like, he was 39, but he had the heart of a 65, or I think it was like 60-year-old. He was under a lot of stress. Your words have power. I know another guy who said, Kenneth Hagin tells this story about this guy who used to have, who was like, he was like in his 30s. All his family died in their 40s or something like that. He said, I won't live past 40, I guess. Something like that. And then the guy goes, he gets really sick, or gets like, I think he had like a heart attack or a stroke or something. He goes into a coma. And so Kenneth Hagin goes to pray for him. And God says to him, I can't, there are spiritual laws that have been enacted that I can't reverse because of his words. So apparently what had happened was he had been telling people that he wasn't going to live a long time. So guess what? God was like, well, you get what you said. So instead of him praying for him, he just said, all right, we're going to go ahead and let you go on home to be with the Lord now. And so when he said that, the guy in the coma smiled and went home to be with the Lord. Your words have more power than you think. I was talking to my mom, and one of the things you notice is that once you begin to speak different things, you know, you start to feel different. My aunt was telling me how she said, you know, she used to say, I'm so tired, just tired. She would come home from work. She would say, I'm tired. I feel this. I feel that. And she said, and lo and behold, I was tired. She said, but when I stopped saying that, I noticed that, guess what? I wasn't tired anymore. Well, that's just placebo. Whatever you want to call it, it works. Your words affect you more than you think. I believe it's Proverbs 12 real quick. Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Right here. This is Proverbs 12, verse 18. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings what? Healing. Are you bringing help to people's lives, or are you being a downtrodder or a party pooper, I should say. I mean, for lack of a better word. Are you downcasting people? The Bible says that when men say there's a casting down, you'll say there's a lifting up. My question to you is, what are you using your words for? Are you using your words to complain? Are you speaking over people? I'll be honest. Look, I'll be real with you. I'm going to say this. At this job, right, I get irritated. And so God has been having to basically teach me how to, like, not speak against the people I work with. How to have life in the words I speak, so that way they don't, you know, because your words have power. Well, they never get it right. And then you wonder why they never get it right. You know? So your words should have healing. And don't be so quick to speak all the time. You know what I mean? Don't be so quick to, like, say everything that's on your mind. That's why sometimes it's better just walk away. Your words have such power, man. You can speak to nature. I remember Ben Snyder, host, tells a story. Or somebody that he knew, or somebody that knew him, told this story. How, when he was building a church, they were about to run out of wood. And they called him, hey, we're about to run out of wood, man. Well, they didn't say man, you know, obviously, you know, you don't talk to Ben Snyder, host, like that. So he goes and he's like, he goes up to the wood pile and he speaks to the wood pile and he says, I command you to never finish in Jesus' name. Thank you for the rose, Oscar. I appreciate it. He says, I command you to never finish in Jesus' name. As long as, and remember, this was back when, like, for some reason, wood, wherever he, I think it was in Nigeria, it was extremely hard to get wood. And they never ran out of wood. They never ran out of wood. Never. God made sure they never ran out. They always had enough. Amen. God will always make sure that you have enough, but you have to speak the word of God, and you have to speak by the authority of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you know, people talk about word curses. You know where they get this from? Because of the power of words. Yes, there are. I do believe that, you know, if you're not saved, you're under darkness. You're under the kingdom of darkness. So anybody that's operating by dark power can attack you. You know, this word curse is over her right now. There probably are word curses over people, yes. But when it comes to you being a Christian, when you get saved, you're no longer under any curse. I don't care what anybody tells you. It's always been funny to me. After I started telling people that, I mean, after I started believing that, I stopped getting words about it. And I wasn't, like, open about, like, hey, guys, I don't believe in this stuff. I just, you know, after that, I never got another word about it. Amen. So, it's like, you have to, how do I say this? Find out what God says about the situation. Find out what the Lord says about the situation and stick to it. Don't deviate from it. Well, I had this experience. No, because God doesn't fund our experience. He funds his word. God funds his word. Amen. Mark 11 talks about that. Talks about that if you speak to this mountain, be not removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart that the things you say will come, that your things that you said, that you will have whatever you say. I screwed that up a little bit, praise God, but you know, you get my point. Now I want you to get this. He says here, now this is after Jesus cursed the fig tree, and then they went away and they came back, and the fig tree was cursed and it was withered. Whenever you stand, he says, for this reason, I'm telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them and they will be given to you. They will be given to you. God is not looking to hold things from you, but it comes from your words. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let him not expect to receive anything from the Lord. It's not because God doesn't want to give you anything. It's because you don't even know what you're asking for. If you're double-minded, you don't really believe the things you're talking about. If you really believe the word of God, then you're not double-minded because your mind is single-track focused on the word of God. But when you're double-minded, that means you believe this. Yes, I believe this, but that means you have doubt and you need to get rid of that doubt. That's why the Bible said, that's why that guy said, I believe, help me with my unbelief. Because he believed God, but he was double-minded. He was double-minded. I pray that God takes your lunch like he did the rest of you. I don't know what that means, but my only advice is stop smoking crack. So, you have, when it comes to your words, man, speak the word of God. Speak the word. That's, you can't be wrong when you speak the word of God. You can't be wrong. You can't be wrong. God will not let you be put to shame. The Bible says that the expectation of the righteous will not be cut off. The expectation of the righteous will not be cut off. Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every person that's watching right now. I also acknowledge people in podcasts. Father, we thank you that you've given us power in our words, and we ask you to give us the spirit of wisdom. Open the eyes of our understanding. Help us to understand words better, how we should speak them, when we should speak them. Let them be life to people. Lord, give us the grace to deal with the situations we're in. Help us to be problem solvers in Jesus' name. Help us to uproot the system that is operating against us in Jesus' name. Help us to be trailblazers and not trend followers in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for teaching us how to be patient with people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, make that your goal tonight. The Bible says that all have fallen short of the glory of God. That we all have fallen short. But it is because of Jesus Christ that our falling short doesn't count against us. And that gift of salvation that comes through Christ, through the blood of Jesus, is available to you today. Don't spend another second outside of God's will for your life. Don't spend another second trying to live a life in this dark world. What does it have to offer you? The government leaders that we voted in, guess what? They failed us. What are they going to do? Your only salvation, your only eternal security is in the glory of God. And you should experience that today. I want you to experience that. Everything I talked about, the power of words. The power of words is available to you, but if you use the power of words any other way other than the way God intended, you're a thief, and God does not tolerate thievery. He doesn't tolerate stealing. The Bible says that the thief come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. So God right there has distinguished himself from anything that steals, kills, or destroys. So align yourself with God. Sin is a killer. Sin will lead you to hell. Sin will destroy your life. Not just talking about your physical life right here. You know, sin will make you unhappy. No, sin wants you dead. Sin wants you dead. It took the life of Christ to wash away my sin. That's the reality of your situation. Is that if you're not in Christ right now, you are walking around, you are a walking zombie. You're dead, and you need God. And God will bring you back to life, bring you back from the place you once were. Let him do it today. Sin will separate you from God, and it will put you in hell. It will put you in the lake of fire for eternity. It's not fun and games. It's not a party. Ooh, yeah. All the hoes are there so we can all have a good time. No, all the hoes are going to be there and y'all going to be crisping together. And it's not going to be fun. Do not go. Don't make it a habit. Don't do this, bro. Don't do this. Make today the day that I say I'm done with sin. And I'm choosing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If that sounds like you, I want you to say this prayer with me. And I want you to mean it from your heart now. Mean it from your heart. I'm not saying this prayer as a recital. I'm saying it because the Bible says that when you confess openly your faith, it solidifies your salvation. So I want you to say this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I admit that I've sinned. and I repent. I believe in my heart you raised Jesus from the dead. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord of my life. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life and fill me with the Holy Spirit as you promised you would. In Jesus' name, amen. Receive the Holy Spirit. Congratulations. Everything you did before 9:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time has been erased. God has no idea that you did it. You know why? Because the Bible says he washes away our sin. Our record of sin. He nailed it to the cross. The record of sin that kept the evil forces operating against us has been destroyed. Hallelujah. And now we have all power over the devil. The same devils that used to torment us and tempt us and do all that different stuff. We have power over them now. And now they have to come and answer to me and you because you gave your life to Christ tonight. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go, if you just pray that prayer, I want you to click on the website that we put in the chat. Exclamation saved. And fill out the form. We're going to send you a free podcast that I made for, yeah, okay, it worked. We're going to send you a free podcast for every person that prayed that prayer. And it'll give you, it's like 9 episodes, but they're not really long episodes. They're less than 10 minutes, probably like 5 to 9 minutes long. And they're just going to go over some basic doctrine, basic beliefs that every Christian should have so that way they can live a life of victory. So that way they're not, you know, being beaten down by the devil at every turn. Because that's not God's will for your life. Amen. I appreciate you. Now, I want to ask you, if you've been looking to support a ministry, if you've been looking at ways to support the gospel getting out, to expanding the kingdom, this is one way you can do it. The Bible says that when you give to others, it'll come back to you and press down, shaking together. Now, I have a question. How much more would it be for giving to a ministry? Every soul we saved is credited to your heavenly account and your earthly account. Every soul. If I save 100 souls, because you gave me a penny, all the souls I saved would go to your account. That's how God works. Isn't that wonderful? That's beautiful to me. I like that. Amen. Amen. So, make today the day that you decide to partner with the kingdom financially. You've already given God your heart. How much more can he handle your money? And as you do, God will make sure that you're blessed 100-fold. I've seen it happen. My brother has seen it happen. If he was up here, he'd tell you a story. I've seen it happen. This computer I'm using, 100% free. I didn't pay for it because I sowed a seed for it. Because I tied my finances to the gospel. And God made sure that I was taken care of. Praise God. So you can give if you want to. Look, don't give if you don't feel led to. Give because you want to and you want to support the gospel. You can give through crypto. You can just go to the website, destinyyth.com/give. You can go through PayPal, which is destinyyth. Venmo is dygive. And Cash App is dygive. If you're watching on TikTok, just click the link in my bio and that will show you all the ways you can give up there. And we greatly appreciate it. But don't feel pressured to give. God does not want people to give because if they don't give, God's going to come and hunt them down. Look, God would rather you keep your money and do what you want to do with it. But if you're looking to see souls saved, if you're looking to partner with a ministry that is out here trying to get souls saved, why not? Why not? We've reached over just 170,000 people in the first year of ministry alone. We just passed our 1-year anniversary about two weeks ago. And we are already, I'm sure we're past it. I just had like 11,000 views coming on a few videos in the last 2-3 days. So we're out here preaching the gospel. I have a video on my YouTube channel that talks about how to get to heaven. That video bumped up about 20 views in the last like 2 weeks, man. So it sounds like, you know, it's only up from here. And partner yourself with that. Align yourself with the will of God. But don't do it because you have to. Do it because you want to. Amen. I'm going to pray for everybody that decided to give today or is going to give, as I always do. That's the custom of this, you know, what I do here. Because I believe that God is mobilizing people to support us. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every person that you have sent to us to give today. We thank you, Lord, that this money will be used strictly for gospel purposes. I thank you for teaching me and the rest of Destiny Youth how to take care of your money, that it does not belong to us, it belongs to you. I thank you, Lord, for blessing every person that is giving today. I thank you for multiplying it 100-fold back to them, spiritually, physically, financially, and every area in between. Let them notice the difference. Let them notice the difference, Lord. Let them know that they're sowing, that they're giving matters. Not just to me, but it matters in their life too. I give you all the praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I appreciate your guys' giving. And we're going to call it a night. I'll be back tomorrow night. I'm not sure if we're going to do prayer yet or if God just drops something in my spirit. But I will definitely be back tomorrow. All right. I love you. I'll see you guys in the next broadcast. All right. Peace.